your experience of life is your responsibility. And if you don't like what you're currently seeing, you have the power to change it.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and I can tell you, because I've talked to her for a few minutes already, that you are going to love the energy of with our guest today. Her name is Kyra Casey. She's an author. She is an intuitive business mentor. She's been everywhere. She's done everything. I was going to read a really cool bio about her, but she said she's doing some different stuff. So we're throwing out the bio. All I can tell you is she is a phenomenal business leader. She can talk about transformation. We're going to talk about her book. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, and you're going to enjoy it. And if not, you get your money back. Kyra Casey, welcome to the Daily Helping, and it's awesome to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, we got to bring it, right? Because we gave them a lot. We gave the audience, we teed it up, right? So, but
was that your way of being like, you didn't bring it with that?
I felt like it could have been, it was genuine. I'm not saying it wasn't genuine, but I think, you know, maybe I was an 8, a 7.6, maybe. I feel like.
Okay. Well, my real mind would be like, I can't say the F word, but like my clients know me for being like, let's fucking go.
Okay. So there we are. Right. So we're doing it. All right. So Kyra, there's so much we can talk about, and I'm excited to see where our conversation goes today. Let's jump in the Kyra Casey time machine. And I want to talk about your superhero origin story, because I know you've been through a lot. We talked about that before we hit the red button. Tell us what put you on the path you're on today, and we'll start there.
Well, yeah, God, this is such a loaded question. And I like to just give like points and go, because I think the present moment is more interesting, but everybody wants to know how you got to where you are today. And for me, like, you know, most people, I went through a lot of trauma in my life. I was addicted to cutting at a very early age. I was in middle school. I overcame that in my 20s. I was raped when I was 15 by 3 men. I overcame that at 19. And what really put me on this path was actually that experience, because when I moved back to the States, I was living in Ireland at the time, and I moved back when I was 17, and I got into personal development at 17 years old. So I was going through a program called Landmark Education. I'm sure some people have heard of it. Some people love it. Some people don't. For me at the time, it was highly beneficial. And so I found myself in and out of these seminars at a very, very early age in life. And I was always the youngest person there. So I'm in these, you know, 3-day, 9 a.m. to midnight seminars, and I'm witnessing transformation in real time. And so I'm watching adults that are anywhere from 30 to 70 years old, and I'm kind of having an insight into the direction of my life if I don't course correct. And so that opened up an entire world for me. And it was really at my first event when I'm witnessing this transformation in real time, this exchange between the seminar leader on stage and this man who is processing something really traumatic and difficult in his life. And I'm witnessing the before and after. And that was the moment that I said to myself, that's the work that I want to do. I want to be in the work of transformation. And I had always known that, because school was never important to me. I was more interested in why human beings were upset, saying that they're not. Like, I wanted to understand that. I didn't care about history. I didn't care about geography. I hated school, like, from a very early age. So I always knew my work was going to be different, and it was going to be outside of the box. And sure enough, that has been the case. So just over the course of my life and being in and out of these different programs and seminars, I've never stopped. I'm going to my 18th Dr. Joe Dispenza retreat here in December. So the world of personal development is not new to me. I've been working with clients since I was 24. I'm now 37. So I've been doing this for, you know, longer than most people at my age.
And I think, you know, what you said is interesting, that, you know, you would prefer to talk about the present because that is more fascinating than the past. Yet, you know, you talked about overcoming self-injurious behaviors and overcoming being raped by three people, but just kind of like check boxes. And maybe for you at this point, they are. But I also think if you're comfortable, you know, it's worth revisiting how you overcame those things, because there's a lot of people that are probably listening to this who maybe didn't go exactly through what you're going through, but everybody has gone through some kind of trauma in their life.
So
you obviously have some wisdom that you could share as to how you were able to move through that. So I'd love you to share that with us.
Yeah. And, you know, I understand, because for me, I can talk about these things like I would talk about ice cream or water. Like, there's no emotional charge for me. And I know that that's really rare to go through something that is so, so big and to be free from that, which is really the work that I do, for other people. And even aside from that, like I mentioned to you before we got on this call, like I've been through two divorces. I was blindsided by my first husband having an affair, and like, I've overcome so much. But if I go back to the beginning, for me, what happened, like, so let's just take the rape, because I know that that's a big one. And there's a lot of people that, even if they're not dealing with that experience, there might be something traumatic, or maybe they're holding resentment or fear, or they're just, you know, their hearts are closed off because it's been hurt. And for me, I'm very open despite what I've moved through. And really how I overcame that, I was 19 years old and same thing, I was in a seminar and I still hadn't overcome that experience in my life. And so the way that I was showing up in the world after that happened was very guarded. For me, I kind of felt like if I put on, you know, like the term resting bitch face, I was like, if I have that enough and I just look unapproachable, maybe no one will ever approach me again and I won't have to deal with the potential of getting hurt. So I found myself as a teenager navigating life with this massive armor and this wall up. And it wasn't until a couple years of being in and out of these personal development seminars that I really felt ready and even had the awareness of, hang on a second, I am literally costing myself the experience of love and vitality and joy and self-expression because of this moment in time. And so what happened was I was in this seminar and I was witnessing these people that were much older than me, like 50s, 60s, 70s. And they just looked really stressed out, like angry, stressed out, unhappy. But I had this thought at 19 and I said, that is literally me in 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, if I don't deal with this. If I continue to carry this with me, that's my future. And I couldn't stand for that. So that was the first thing. I had this insight into like what my future was going to look like if I didn't let this go and heal it. And then the second thing was, I knew that I was here to support the work of transformation and liberation for other people. So I also knew that if I was going to do that, I could only do that to the degree at which I myself was free and liberated and healed. And so it was a moment in time with insight, because I didn't overcome this going through therapy. I wasn't talking to someone once a week about what happened, how do you feel? I wasn't medicated. I wasn't taking anything. It was literally just a desire. And I know that sometimes that's frustrating for people to hear, because people sometimes have a desire to heal, but then they don't know how. Well, what I found was that forgiveness is actually taking your attention off of something and being done with it. So like a lot of people say, I forgive you, but then they bring it up a week later or 2 weeks later. And for me, there was just this moment in time of a declaration of, I'm actually going to let this go. And I believe, and I know this can be really, this can trigger a lot of people, but I believe that soul contracts and agreements prior to coming here so that we can learn lessons are very real. So I also had this understanding at a very early age that if I was going to experience the fullest degree of forgiveness and love for myself, I probably had to experience the flip side of that. And so I was no longer looking at this like I was a victim. I was looking at this like this was an opportunity for me to really demonstrate walking through the fire. And it was just a moment in time of letting it go. Like it just was no longer significant to me. And I stopped thinking about it. So you know, I know that might not give a real answer, but that was my real honest process. And it was just done.
Well, what I take from that is there's a couple of points, right? The example of seeing, you know, the ghost of Christmas future, so to speak, right? And you don't want to be what those women were, right? You know, filled with angst and negative. And then you also realized that forgiveness is a huge component of this, and genuine forgiveness. You know, forgiveness to me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but in my experience, forgiveness and gratitude have become buzzwords in the personal development space where everybody's, oh, you're grateful, right? Be grateful. But real deep gratitude and real deep forgiveness is something much more than just saying, I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head today, right? Like, yeah, that's self-evident, right? But truly forgiving something that's done something terrible to you, especially if they're not able to look you in the eye and say, you know what I did was horrible, and I'm really sorry for all the pain I caused you. And I don't imagine you had that opportunity with your assailants, right? So
no,
for, you know, you said it was almost a non-answer, but I don't think it was, because I think forgiveness is so huge. But so, and I imagine forgiveness is something you talk about probably with your clients. So kind of take me through how you would take somebody through a forgiveness process if somebody has really, they perceive somebody has really wronged them.
Well, my work is really about personal responsibility, because if we're going to be liberated from an experience, first of all, we have to want it. And what I tell people is, like, your experience is not bad. It's not wrong. It just is. And so anybody is valid in their feelings of anger, betrayal, resentment, hostility. Like, that's valid. If you moved through something and now you're left over with this feeling, like, your feelings aren't wrong. The question is that feeling supporting you and creating what you ultimately want to experience? Because the rape happened at 15. That's done. The only place that lives outside of that moment in time is up here in my mind. If I continue to revisit that and give that energy in some way, shape, or form, I'm always going to be creating based on an experience from my past. So a lot of my work is not even about forgiving and, you know, going through this whole process. It's more about, first of all, do you want to be free from it? Because you might not. Because the reality is, if you don't, there's a payoff to you staying in the energy of being a victim. I'm just going to say it what it is. There's a payoff and a cost to everything. For me, I realized that, yes, I'm valid to feel these things. And I also recognize that it's not serving me. And so knowing that I'm valid, I'm also going to know that I'm choosing to put this suitcase down. I want a new story for myself. And I didn't know how to create a new story trying to write in an old book. I don't know how you do that.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. So something else I've been thinking about as you've been talking, you started this at a really young age. Most people who are that young, personal development and attending seminars are the last thing on their minds. And so now you're 37, right? So you've almost been doing this for 20 years, right?
And I've been taking on clients since I was 24.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, what I'm curious, having been to probably, you mentioned Joe Dispenza, you know, countless times, but I'm sure it's not just Joe Dispenza. You're probably, you know, getting this from a whole lot of luminaries. What are some of the common threads that you've pulled together in your work to help people experience a transformative journey?
Well, I mentioned personal responsibility, and I would say that's one of the main things that I lead with, because we have to be willing to take responsibility for our current experience of life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're responsible for, you know, the person that rear-ends you from behind, but you're now left with an experience, and it's your choice as to how you're going to navigate that. So that's one of the main things. But also, I've been very intuitive since I was a child. So for me, really going within and not always seeking outside validation and answers is something that is also really important for me, especially when it comes to working with my clients, because whether they're scaling their business, they're trying to leave a relationship, like whatever that is, they need to have that knowingness and that clear channel. And a lot of people don't have that, which is why they're constantly either in a position of I'm not moving because they feel stuck, they don't know, or they have the insight, but they don't have the action. And insight without action makes no difference.
insight without action makes no difference.
Yeah, I can have the insight. Yeah. If I want to lose 10 pounds, I can have the insight. I know how to lose 10 pounds. But if I don't put that into action, here we are.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. I've heard this described differently, but I love the analogy just the same. Hal Elrod was on this show talking about, he talks about the law of action and attraction rather than just the law of attraction. We can't just wish that we're going to be successful in whatever endeavor we want to do. We actually have to take massive steps to achieve that. So said a little differently, but very much the same. So as I'm hearing threads, you're talking, I'm hearing threads of some kind of new age thoughts, right? Like you talked about soul contracts, which implies past lives. I know you're well known for manifestation, and a lot of people claim agency in this space, right? I'm going to help you manifest a Lamborghini and a beautiful spouse or whatever.
Yeah, that right? I don't do. Yeah. That I'm not into.
That's not amongst the list of your services. But I do think, you know, there is something, and those of you who have been with me for a long time, I've had on some guests that really kind of challenge convention, and we talk more about a little bit of quantum science, and people are starting to understand at a very scientific and measurable level that energy is a real thing, that what we interact with in our space definitely affects how our lives go. But I'm curious to hear your spin on manifestation, because you know it's a topic that's come up now and again, but that's kind of one of your things, right? So I want to hear your take on it.
Yeah, and I love the conversation of manifestation, but not in just a woo-woo sense, because like for me, I've taken myself from divorced and depressed and in debt to, you know, generating over $1 million in my business and doing just a lot of things that I always desire to do or have. So I've completely turned my financial situation around. Like every aspect of my life has changed. And, you know, I look at manifestation real simple. Like you're constantly creating an outcome in your life, whether you're conscious of it and you have an intention set, like a goal that you're after, or you're just waking up every day doing the things that you always do and you're not giving it thought. Either way, you're creating something. And I find that it's based on who you're being in life. So this is why taking, for me, if I'm going to teach my clients or we're going to do work together, you know, I have a saying, it's your next business strategy is a personal one. Because a lot of times the work that we have to do, even in our business to get to that next level, it's not always something with marketing or content. Like more times than not, it's a personal thing that has to be worked through and navigated. So in terms of manifestation, I still find that even that conversation is one of you're either consciously creating or you're not. And if you don't like your current experience of life, then you should probably create it, because otherwise you're just left to the randomness of the universe or the energy that you're currently in.
And that energy that you speak of, that's just not your internal dialogue. That's also the people in your sphere of influence.
Yeah, I definitely think the people we surround ourselves with is impacting us 100%.
So I want to ask you this next thing, because I know you've got a book and I know you've got something new, and we'll talk about what you do in a minute. But one of the things that struck me in the stuff they sent over about you was that you have something called self-love rituals. And that's interesting because, you know, I noticed particularly during COVID that the term self-care, self-love, self-healing, these almost became buzzwords too, right? Like it was all of a sudden everybody's talking about it. But to really love yourself, is kind of a different thing than just lighting candles and putting on music, right? And so
yeah,
I'd love to hear kind of a few of the rituals, the things that you tell your clients to do, and then you know, just for a moment or two, and then I want to shift on to what you're up to now.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that was brought up because a lot of times in my work or the way that I present myself, I can be very sometimes provocative in the way that I'm dressed or how I speak. And the reality is, you know, I dropped out of college 2 years in. I was going for a degree in psychology, and I just realized I don't want to have to show up as anything less than who I am. Like, I want to be with my clients the way that I get to be with my best friends. So people know of me, like, there's no separation between what you see online and what you get with me in person. And the people that come to my retreats or they've been in my world, they know that. That for me is an act of self-love. I'm not willing to do anything. I'm not willing to spend a single moment of my life or my time censoring myself or showing up any other way than the authentic, honest, 100% full self-expression of me. And that's my act of self-love. And so that means when I show up for my business, I show up as myself because I love myself enough that I'm not going to portray myself in order for you to accept me. And what I have found is that creating my business that way has made the people that I work with and just the work I'm doing, like that in and of itself is an act of self-love because I'm around people that genuinely accept the way that I am and they see something that they want for themselves just out of my beingness. So maybe they want more play, more self-expression, and more love inside of their work. And that's some of the big work that we do as well.
I love that. And I imagine that, you know, as a consequence of you being you, those people yes. that would judge you, those people that don't like the way you dress or don't like the way you talk.
They let me know.
They let you know.
But they let me know.
They probably go away, right? So that for the most part, you're probably
hired me.
That's fun too, yeah. right?
That too. But, yeah, but they go away or they hire me. But yeah, I definitely get the backlash of that.
Yeah, I imagine so. But kudos on you for being who you are. Unapologetically and unbashfully. So we talked about this even before we started recording that the bio that I had of you was wildly outdated. Throw it out. You're doing all kinds of crazy cool stuff now. Talk to us about that crazy cool stuff you're doing now.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing, you know, when I started my business, it was really just like one person and going out doing the work that I'm doing, but I'm now bringing it to a bigger scale. And so I've trademarked Liberate Her. I'm really in the space of wanting to put on and in creation of putting on a live event. I have a lot of lives that I want to change and I'm here for the work of transformation. So that is the most exciting thing that I'm working on and my retreats because I love in-person work. I just think there's so much that gets to happen when you're actually in person and you can go really deep with somebody. So that's what I'm most excited about.
I would agree. I think COVID, you know, one of the things that happened was everything became Zoom based. And granted, you and I are on Zoom now, so I'm grateful that we can do it. But yeah. There's just a different energy, whether it's a business meeting or whether it's, you know, you're sitting in a mini group of six people processing something really heavy. It's just different when you know the other person, you know, can turn off their camera and play games on their phone or send text or whatever else. So outstanding. So I want to also be remiss if I didn't ask you about your book, which I know is available everywhere, Rich Bitch Money Goals. So tell us, just fun saying it, tell us what was the impetus for writing this book, and then we'll get into the content a little bit.
Yeah, I wanted, you know, so many people came to me because they wanted to make more money. And I started getting really frustrated because like, I want you to make more money. I think women, especially when I went through my divorce, like I couldn't afford my mortgage. So I found that this was a big problem and I wanted to change my financial circumstances. I did, but then I had all these people coming to me, teach me how to make money. And what I found was nobody was actually in a position to even be coaching other people. You know, the coaching industry blew up during COVID. It was a good thing and a bad thing. And so I took the principles that really supported me in changing my life. And I put them in this book. But in my world, bitch stands for a woman or a man. I've got men that have read this book and they're in my membership. But bitch stands for a woman who believes in herself. She invests in herself and not just money, but she will invest the time that is required for her to grow. She trusts herself. She consciously creates her life, and she's heart-centered in her pursuit of success. And so those were the rich bitch principles, because what I found was that a lot of women were coming to me, but they didn't even have the being bitch was belief. They didn't even believe in themselves to do the work that they ultimately wanted to do in the world. So there's, for me, we've got to go deeper, which is really the foundation of this book, which, by the way, this is getting an upgrade. So Rich Bitch 2.0 should be out by next year. But
Rich Bitch 2.0.
Yeah. I want to update. It needs to be updated.
Can you give us a little sneak peek of the 2.0?
You know, I had my first 360K month in July after bringing on a team, and now I've got them full time, and so many things have shifted. So I just want to elevate, and I want to bring in some of like the new codes, and I just want to bring in more depth to the chapter. So the book will be the same. I'm just evolving it, and I just want to go deeper with some of the concepts.
So just using the bitch acronym. So the B is pretty clear. Invested. So
Invest. You have to invest in yourself. You have to be willing to invest. So I do speak of, like, for me, in order to create the results that I have, like, I was investing in mentors. I was investing my time wisely. You have to be your greatest investment. And if you're not, you're probably not ready for this work.
Okay. That makes sense to me. And then the trust. Is this a trust in yourself, a trust in the universe? Where we go with the team?
All of it. It's you've got to be able to trust the ideas. Like I tell people, you have $1 million ideas happening all the time. You just don't trust yourself enough to either act on them or take that next step, whatever that is, right? Like for most people, their intuition is guiding them all the time, but they just don't trust it. So if you're going to make bold, crazy moves in life, like you better trust yourself, because you're going to have a lot of people that are going to say, that's probably a bad idea. And if you don't have the belief or the trust in yourself to move, you're probably going to stay stuck like majority of the world.
Okay. So now we're working our way through it. So we might as well do the C and the H. So take us home with those.
To consciously create your life, that would mean that you're waking up every day with a vision for your future, and you're actually getting that energy versus default from your past in that energy. So consciously creating is like, I'm clear on the things that I want to experience, and now I'm going to start giving life to these goals. And then the H for heart-centered is that we do everything from our heart. So for the highest good of all, like making money for most people is just a selfish thing. Like I want more money. My question is, how are you making money in a way that serves you, but serves the people that you're here to touch? So everything we do comes back to heart-centered.
I love this. I love this so much. Kyra, 10 years from now, tell me where you are. What kind of thing? I know not physically where you are, but where are you in terms of your impact? What are you going to be doing in the world?
I really think mostly just on stages. I run retreats in Ireland. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I don't see myself never not doing those. But even those are not all that accessible because I keep it small. So if I go off of where I ultimately want to go, it would be stages. I also want to go into prisons. I want to work with the women who have gone through some things. And for the men and women that are ready to liberate themselves too from victim energy and maybe some of the trauma that they've gone through, like I'm here for that work as well. But that requires a specific level of readiness.
No, that's absolutely true. I could talk to you forever. Our time together today has flown by. Kyra, I want to ask you a question. It's something I ask everybody that comes on the show. What is your biggest helping, that single most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
I would say that your experience of life is your responsibility. And if you don't like what you're currently seeing, you have the power to change it. Like, I just want people to actually get that they are responsible for their life, and they also have the power to change it and create anything that they want.
Beautifully said. Tell us where people can learn more about you online.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. KyraCasey.com is my website. Super easy. Just my first and last name.
Awesome. And for those of you in the car or at the gym, we got you covered. Everything Kyra Casey will be available in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Kyra, thank you so much for joining us today. I had a blast. I know everybody did too. It was a terrific conversation.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that we are on the same page. Go green.
go white. Extra bonus points for that, for sure. For those of you at home, even if you're Ohio State or Michigan fans, we love you too. If you like what you heard, go give us a follow and a five-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.